we're happy you're joining us.
What? Well, I guess he is on.
Thank you for finding the verse with Sylvanus, Larry. Ephesians chapter 4, we've talked about this several times, and so you probably remember my stand on this. Verse 7, Ephesians 4, verse 7, that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Come down to verse 11, here are the gifts. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and on and on. I was told once by some believers that they do not believe this pertains to this age, what Brother Art was calling the but now. Which we are in the but now, no question about it. He's right about that. We are in the dispensation of the grace of God. And yet, the believers I'm talking about, not Art, but some others that I know. Hey, Mike, it's you, and hopefully Pal Talk is with you. Hey, is Pal Talk with you today, Mike? Let me interrupt myself because I'm wondering if Artie's with us. And is Artie with you? Not Artie. Okay, I'm sorry to say it. Well, welcome everybody in Pal Talk, and of course Artie's welcome too. But I was discussing a point that, 85 Vet, that's right. I think Mike knows his handle. Okay, I guess he's not there. All right. Well, that's right. I'll just continue. The reason I was asking is because he sent me an email with some interesting points we're discussing. And it would have been good if he could have been here to help us with his points. But that's no problem. I'm going to just continue on with what I gleaned from it, and we'll do the best we can. Anyway, the premise of a point that I got in an email was that only Paul, Timothy, and Silas are ambassadors for Christ. Only they have the ministry of reconciliation. And several other things such as that it's wrong for us to preach. Or not, I don't know if he says it's wrong. Maybe he says we're not properly, rightly dividing the word of truth to preach that we all have. You've discussed this some too. Okay. That we all have the ministry of reconciliation, that we're all, as saved individuals, ambassadors for Christ. And I'm going to take the position that I disagree with the premise that only Paul, Silas, and Timothy had that thing. It's true that they were specially anointed for the purpose under which God called them, because at that time, in the transition of Israel's fall and things such as that, and the writing and the revealing of things of the mystery, there was a need for sign gifts and everything else. So we've discussed that before. But at some point, even after Israel was no longer in the picture nationally, and God was dealing with all men, we still have some gifts that are available to us. And I would conclude that Ephesians 4 is the list of those gifts. In verse 11, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I realize that the apostles are gone because the specifics of apostleship you can find in the New Testament. They had met the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd done miracles and things, the signs of an apostle, and on. So that's clear that a man could not be an apostle today by the definition of the Bible, as Paul was and Barnabas and others. Some prophets, well, I don't believe we're having any new prophets added to the body of Christ because God has fulfilled the scriptures. And Paul had already said that prophecies would cease and fail and things like that. Tongues would cease, prophecy would fail. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But there will be prophesying again the gift of prophecy in the tribulation period where Israel is concerned, because God's back dealing with Israel again. So I don't believe prophets are in effect today. So what we're left with are evangelists, preachers, and some pastors and teachers. Now, the saints I referred to earlier, not Artie, but other people that I know, told me that not even those are current gifts, that evangelists, pastors, and teachers are not gifts. Their contention was that once the Bible was completed, the Word of God is the only teacher. There is no need for preachers. There's no need for pastors, whatever, that all of that is done with. And they kind of drew a similar conclusion that there were only specific individuals that were pastors, Timothy specifically. But here's the problem I have with that thinking. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, understand the... by the way, Benoit made an excellent point there. If we are to represent Christ, then are we not ambassadors too? That's right. We are. I think you're a representative of Christ if you belong to Him, if He's in you, and I know He is. So I think this might be a case of not seeing the forest for the trees, but I don't want to be judgmental about it, because you know we need to be fair. I'm sorry, I think I want 1 Timothy 2. I think I want 2 Timothy. Okay, yeah, 2 Timothy 2, excuse me. Paul writes to Timothy specifically, no question about that, but he says, "Thou therefore, my son, endure..." I could say by this measure, by the measure that we're applying to 2 Corinthians 5 as ambassadors, that this letter is only written to Timothy, and there's nothing you can take from this that has any application to you. It would be like me reading your mail and saying, no, this inheritance that you just received from your great dead uncle is also mine too. I couldn't claim that. There's no question that Paul's specifically writing to Timothy here, but God wanted this to be in the Scriptures in order that we would see the things that Paul said and make application of them. When he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," I'm not to conclude that we are not encouraged to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because it's in the singular there, and he's only writing to Timothy. Nor am I to conclude that Paul would not have wanted to encourage others, like the household of Chloe and Stephanas and anybody that was in the body at his time, that he wanted them to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But it's verse 2 that I'm after when he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Is 2 Timothy 2:2 not a commission of teachers to go on and continue? I would argue that it is. He's instructing, he's commanding Timothy to commit what he's been taught to faithful men, and that they are to teach others also. So are there not teachers today? Well, absolutely there are. Look with me in... I guess I'm going to go to 1 Timothy again. Verse 1. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, on and on. You see the qualifications. Why place that in the scriptures if God was not calling men to be bishops? And a bishop and a pastor have very similar meanings. The bishop is an overseer. Let me do this. I'm going to pull up another screen right quick and look at the differences in the words, because I don't want to be in error about this. Give me just a moment. The word bishop is episkope in Greek. And now this is just a Strong's Concordance definition, folks. I'm not trying to tell you that the Bible is being interpreted by Strong's Concordance. The word is translated, a bishop there, office of a bishop, and bishopric. And it's also translated as visitation. And so it's given definition as, number one, investigation, inspection, and visitation. And number two, oversight, as in the office of being an overseer, somebody's in charge, or the office of an elder. Okay? Now, that's a bishop. An elder, that word in the New Testament is the word presbyteros. And that's where you get like the word Presbyterian or Presbyterian church. It means an elder or somebody who's of age. So in other words, basically it's a senior person. But it includes some individuals that have a rank, a position of honor. Okay? So a bishop doesn't necessarily have to be an elder. And then pastor, in the... the word pastor shows up in the Old Testament one time, but pastor is plural, is the one that Paul was using when he gave some pastors, is the word in Greek, I think it looks like poimen, and it means a herdsman or a shepherd. Well, obviously, God's not talking about pastors being shepherds of sheep. It's metaphorically speaking, it's the presiding officer, manager, or director of an assembly, the overseers of the Christian assemblies, and on and on. So, my point in all this is, a pastor is a bishop. Larry writes, the word translated as ministers in 2 Corinthians is also translated as a deacon and servant. Thank you very much. That's excellent, too. There you go. Mike posted 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. So there were more. I agree, Larry. I believe we are all servants. But what I'm saying here is that the qualification for bishops here, which I would conclude to be somebody that may be either a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a person, in other words, a person could be a preacher and evangelist and not necessarily be over some assembly somewhere, having the office of a bishop. That's perfectly true. A good example of that would be Brother E.C. Moore. He never called himself a pastor. He always called himself a preacher and a teacher. I know there are grace preachers that say you can't be a pastor and not be a teacher. In other words, they say there's pastors and teachers as one office. I think that's misusing the grammar and the comma placement, but that's neither here nor there. I believe that there's three separate offices available in the gifts there that Paul was talking about: evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay. A bishop would certainly be in the category of one of those. But notice that it says in verse 1, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Well, the first qualification is desire. Then the bishop must be blameless in verse 2. It doesn't mean sinless, just blameless as far as not having any fault that could hinder his ministry. Thank you. That's right. The husband of one wife. In other words, not that he's never been divorced, as the Baptist Church teaches, but that he doesn't have more than one wife at one time. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, and a watch, apt to teach. Well, then he's prepared, he's fit to teach. And in verse 3, it's verse 4, he says he rules his own, well his own house. Now watch verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Well, then, amen, amen. Obviously, somebody is being called upon to be a bishop here. I'm just using bishop as an example. Because it is a position. It's an office, if you will. They did not end with the fulfilling of the scriptures. And then deacons, the same thing. They are to be... they have qualifications in verse 9, it is, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless, the office of a deacon. And in verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So I don't quite get this idea that everything ended with the close of scriptures, or that only a few are limited to being ambassadors and such as that. You know, here Paul, Timothy was being instructed to teach other men and such as that. So back to 2 Corinthians 5. Back to 2 Corinthians 5 there, if we analyze this again, let's pick it apart for a moment. If I back up, okay. In verse 1. If I'm going to use the argument that the pronouns limit Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to being the ambassadors... Verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. Not you, the church, the body of Christ, but only Paul and Timothy and Silas. Right? Am I right? I don't think so. You know, I believe, is inclusive of the Corinthians. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Only Paul, Timothy, and Silas walk by faith. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Are only Paul and Timothy and Silas going to be present with the Lord when they're absent from the body? And then he says in verse 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent we may be accepted of him. You could say, okay, he's only talking about he and Timothy there in the context, or Silas. But then he says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So we in the context is clarified by the word all. Everybody in the body, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, in verse 11, it's clear when he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, and on and on. Well, with the you here, there's definitely a distinction now being made between Paul, Timothy, and Silas, and somebody else, these Corinthians. But look at verse 14 again. Look at the all. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That includes more than Paul and Timothy and Silas. That's all who he died for, that they should, verse 16, henceforth, that they should not live unto themselves. Verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Yet now henceforth know we him no more, and I could say after the flesh. In other words, we don't know Christ as the only to Israel Messiah. We know him as the Lord Jesus Christ, raised and seated at the right hand of God. Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, he's talking about any man that's in Christ that has become new, is he not? Is only Timothy, Paul, and Silas reconciled to God and been given the ministry of reconciliation? That won't work. And what is the ministry of reconciliation? Verse 19 is to give witness, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, that's the world, and hath committed unto us, me, Timothy, and Silas only, the word of reconciliation. I don't agree with that. The ones who have been reconciled are the ones who have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And the ones who have been reconciled are the world in verse 17 and 18. I mean, that's the whole idea. God was reconciling the world unto himself, and he's committed unto us. I believe it is inclusive of the Corinthians here, and you as the reader. Verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ, said, be ye reconciled to God. Now, if I'm going to limit verse 20 to only being Paul, Timothy, and Silas, that only they have the ministry committed to them, the word of reconciliation. I'm sorry, verse 20. If only Timothy and Silas are the ambassadors, then verse 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Then wouldn't verse 21 only be true of Paul, Timothy, and Silas as well? If I'm going to use the argument that in verse 20, only Paul, Timothy, and Silas are the we ambassadors for Christ there, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ, said, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Then I would have to conclude that only Paul, Timothy, and Silas were made the righteousness of God in him in verse 21. So I don't think it's so cut and dried as that. It looks like a person could take the rule about pronouns and hold it so hard and fast that you're going to misunderstand, I think, some things. And thank you. And he actually made that point, if I may, go back to the letter here. About sealed, Mike. I want to get back to in just a second here. Carol's point about Romans 10. That's an excellent point. Let me find the context here. Okay. And let me pick up here. He says, we do not have a special anointing to do anything. We are to be diligent with our studies. We are to share the word of truth when we have the opportunity. However, we are not ministers of reconciliation, nor are we ambassadors for Christ. Among men in the body of Christ, Paul was the first ambassador for Christ and minister of reconciliation. And then from this letter to the Corinth assembly, we learn that Silvanus and Timotheus were included with Paul as anointed for this ministry. No, and they emphasized here in three words and in all bold letters, no one else can stand up today and claim the special anointing from God. No one else can say that they are speaking in Christ's stead. Only Silvanus and Timotheus are included with Paul for this ministry. Only these men were charged to speak the word of truth perfectly because of the special anointing from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the little flock spoke perfectly what they were given to speak for the time they were given. Now, I'm not so sure I agree with that, that Paul spoke it perfectly and everything else, as though Paul might not have ever stumbled or made a mistake. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, Mike. But I wanted to get down to the point about... here it is. These men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, received the special anointing. These men, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, did not corrupt the word of God. God's word of truth was perfectly spoken, perfectly written, as if Jesus himself had said it to be to the hearers and the readers. These men only, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, could claim, our speech was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. These men only, Paul and Silvanus, could claim, we are ambassadors for Christ. These men only could claim we speak in Christ's stead. These men only could claim I lie not. These men only could claim I do not corrupt the word of God. Can any pastor, so-called, or any of the rest of us in the body of Christ make these claims that Paul did? No way. And so he says, are you seeing this? I was after the seal. Okay, maybe this is it. Once the gospel of our salvation and our doctrine was completed by Paul, the gifts unto men ceased to be. Okay, so he is making the same point as my other friends that I was referring to. There are no special ministries today. We are each a member of Christ's body. We are to share the gospel of our salvation, and we are to come together and edify the whole body in love. The letters from Paul are what we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. The word of truth is gospel of salvation. I agree with that. And then, he says, we get perfected and fully furnished unto all good works by studying and coming together to edify one another. No pastor so-called, no teacher so-called, but by and through God's word to us. Romans through Philemon, sharing together and discussing together what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand within those 13 letters, especially written to us, for us, and about us. I thought there was a ceiling that took place there, but anyway, I can't find it. Anyway, folks, I guess I just want to make the point that I don't agree with that. Because, first of all, let me take a poll and ask, how many of you got saved by reading the Bible versus those who heard the Bible, who heard the gospel preached by somebody? Mike, you got saved by just reading the Bible. You did not hear the gospel preached unto you. It was shown to you, which is a manner of teaching and preaching, right? In other words, was someone sent to share with you the gospel? Of course they used the Bible to do it, or to quote it, or whatever. Or did you just, you know, were you in a hotel room and found a Gideon's Bible and opened it up and found the gospel and got saved? There was a teacher. Okay. In other words, I would argue that the faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that brings me back. Yeah, in other words, someone preached it to me. And that brings me back to Carol Johnson's point there in Romans 10. Exactly. Somebody was used. And I would consider those people gifts. Don't you think? That God was gracious to send individuals, whether they were one or more than one, whether it was through a tape or a TV ministry or a CD or whatever, or a live person or a preacher or whatever, that he was gracious to gift you with having somebody come to you and share with you and help you see and understand the gospel. That's right. So Romans 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, and on. Are men sent to preach? Yes. Do we have preachers? Yes. Evangelists, same word. So, you know, I just think that it's an erroneous conclusion to draw that there's no gifts to the body today of pastors, teachers, and evangelists. How many of you came to see rightly dividing the word of truth by yourself? Or did you hear a teacher or a preacher somewhere? Or did you read a book by C.R. Stamm or somebody like that who was writing and teaching in that book? See, I would argue that the people that are making the point that you only need the scriptures did not learn about right division by themselves by reading the scriptures, if that makes any sense. And in a sense, they're kind of slapping in the face of God that gave them the gifts. And yes, I don't believe there's apostles and prophets anymore. I had tremendous help. I know I would never have figured out right division. If that were true, why are there so many millions of people that are religiously Christian-minded, but they've never heard the mystery? Or they don't understand it. I mean, you can read the words there over and over again. Yeah. And I agree with you, Larry. It seems to me they would deny to others that which they received as a gift. Exactly. And Paul said the very same thing. What do you have that thou didst not receive? In other words, they got it from the Lord through people. The problem with the people that I referred to earlier, who said they don't believe pastors and teachers are for today, is because they were under the pastorship of a man who was oppressive and took upon himself the belief that he was their authority and over them in everyday life and all. And they ran from that and kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. There's nothing wrong with giving honor to those that labor in the word and communicating to them in all good things and recognizing the gift of that office. Because I believe it continues on, just like Benoit said there. Paul told Timothy to teach others. So, you know, when you take the stand that there's no gifts and only Paul is an ambassador, to me it almost sounds like these are the people that don't want to acknowledge that they have a responsibility, a ministry for which there's a reward. Because the conclusion I'm going to draw from saying that only Paul, Timothy, and Silas have this ministry is that we have no special ministries, then there's no reward for you. There's nothing to press toward. There's no crown to press toward. And only Paul says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But you know what? Paul said it was not to him only. And this is the thing that cinches it for me. He says to Timothy, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Was Timothy an evangelist? Yes. Was he a pastor? Yes. He did the work of an evangelist. He preached as well, and he taught. He was all of those things. Verse 7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward to the Lord coming back? Then there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness when we fight the good fight, finish our course, and keep the faith. That's right. Mike says, but let every man, and he quotes 1 Corinthians 3, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, and on and on. Yeah, bless his heart. I think Art might have gotten trapped into some of that flawed logic that others have gotten into. What was the scripture reference again about the scriptures being fulfilled and prophecy ceasing and failing? Missed it. Carissa, I was referring to 1 Corinthians 13. And it doesn't say the scripture is being fulfilled there, but what it does say is verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, meaning at that moment. Verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And most people would argue that that's the fulfillment of the scriptures. I agree with that only to the extent that it has to do with you being matured by the scriptures. Because that which is perfect is talking about you growing up. And he defines it in verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. When that which is perfect is come, it's when you grow up, and by the scriptures, by the completed word of God, you are able to be perfected, as in all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By the scriptures we can be perfected. And the reason the gifts were given was to perfect you as well. And this is what these people are missing in their logic. Let me grab these real quick because Carissa brings up a good point. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, watch. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And go back to Ephesians 4. 2 Timothy 3 does not replace or supplant Ephesians 4. It's an amendment to it. It's a further clarification. Verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in other words, God gave the scriptures and men, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to use to help you get perfected. At some point, you are perfected where you can take over and start learning yourselves from the scriptures. You can get established in everything else. But you need evangelists, pastors, and teachers to help get you there. They were given as gifts. There's nothing special about them. Pastors and teachers, we are not men above other men. We are nothing more than sinners saved by grace that have a desire to be bishops, that have a desire to speak and teach the word of God for the benefit of those of you in the body of Christ. So what's funny is, I don't think they realize it, but when people send letters out like this with this argument, they're slapping the face of all of the men that have labored and studied hard. And I don't take this personally, but I don't think they mean this. But they're slapping the face of all those men that God gave them who've studied hard to try to help get them to a point of understanding the word of truth rightly divided. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't care, you know, if people are, you know, what people think about me. I mean, it's irrelevant what people think about me. And my feelings aren't hurt because I know I'm only going to stand before the Lord. You know, I'm here to please Him, not to please men. So if people don't like me or people don't appreciate me, that's okay. And I trust me, I feel very appreciated by all of those whom I serve and minister unto. But I'm definitely doing it to please the Lord, not anybody else. But it does strike me as odd that a man would write such a thing to the very people that have really tried to make it their life's work to help perfect saints. And now they're being told that they don't have a job to do that they are not called to do that. You know, that's a strange thing to me. Larry writes, parents teach children, right? Larry says, didn't Paul write scripture after Corinthians? Of course he did. Absolutely. And Carol writes, Brother Scott, Philippians 1:14-18 comes to mind. Very good. Let's read it before I go here. Philippians 1, 14:18. Yeah, many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, and on and on. And I don't take any umbrage at the comments here from anybody who has opinion differing from mine. That's okay with me. I just want you to know that I don't agree with it. And I don't think it's lifting a man up to take the office of a bishop or a teacher or a pastor or an evangelist. If anything, they are instructed more vehemently by Paul to take on the humility of a servant and to be humbled. And Paul was certainly humbled and set the example. Do some pastors get high-minded and too big for their britches? Yes. And usually the Lord will knock them down a peg or two to get their attention. But I do believe and teach, and I still continue to believe, that we are all ambassadors for Christ. We all represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have a ministry of reconciliation. I don't believe it's limited to Paul, Timothy, and Silas. And I don't believe that the gifts ended with the completion of the Word of God, other than the ones that Paul said would be set aside. What we're left with today are the ones that he said to continue to grow and expand, which are teachers, pastors, and evangelists. If a man desires the office of a bishop, then we still have bishops and pastors. If Timothy was instructed to commit the word to faithful men to teach others also, then teachers are continuing. If Timothy was instructed to do the work of an evangelist, and if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and how shall they hear except they be preached unto, then evangelism continues today. Amen. We need the scriptures for perfection, and we've been given gifts to help us become perfected by the scriptures. It's really that simple. So anyway, I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. I thought it was a very interesting topic, a very interesting discussion, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. But I hope you won't take what I say for, you know, you'll search the scriptures out yourself. Because like I said, we may be teachers, but our job is to show you the truth, and your job is to study it out. Mike writes, what does the Bible actually say? It does not say what the writer asserts. So that is why it has not been taught before by Bible teachers. I agree with that. That's right. Instruction is also the same as teaching. That's correct. You know, Paul, Timothy was told over and over again by Paul to give attendance to doctrine, exhortation. And I think some exhortation is in order here too. So, folks, I've enjoyed this, and I appreciate your fellowship very much, your support, your prayers, everything. Thank you for it. I'm going to have to go get ready for work. But I am really thrilled to have you join us. And if you can join us again on Sunday evening, we will be here again at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. At Believing the Bible. Thank you, Bernadette, all of you, Carissa, Carol, Larry, Benoit, Mike, and the group at Pal Talk. And Larry, all of y'all have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.